Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, December 14th, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That's me.
I've got a job to do, too. Where I'm going, you can't follow. What I've got to do, you can't be any part of.
Well, that sounds important, but nothing's more important than today's show, because today is our special end-of-the-year show. We'll be taking the next 2 weeks off for our well-deserved annual holiday break. But today, we have a bunch of Q&A and a little sexual enrichment programming, as well as my 2009 tribute to all the wonderful guests that have graced this year's podcasts in both the Erotic Mind series and the Sex Education series. Today's special broadcast is sponsored by the holiday sale at Eden Fantasies. Here's a tip. A quality pleasure product from Eden Fantasies makes a unique and thoughtful holiday gift. In these tough economic times, none of us has money to waste, and we're all trying to get as much bang for our buck. That's why I want you to consider a gift that will keep on giving throughout the new year. And this is where Eden Fantasies comes in. They go out of their way to bring you an astonishing assortment of adult products. And just in time for the holiday shopping season, they're having a huge sale. Save 25% on vibrators, 20% on luxury items, 15% on silicone toys, and there are even stocking stuffers for under $20. And I have one final suggestion for the perfect holiday gift for any discriminating adult on your list. My gift-giving idea is simply stated in one word: Lilo. You've heard me talk about Lilo's line of pleasure products a lot this past year. We've reviewed nearly a dozen of their products right here on DrDickSexAdvice.com. And Eden Fantasies carries their entire line. If you want the very best in adult products, if you're looking for superior quality and workmanship, and you want high-end gift packaging, then all you have to do is insist on Lilo. Look for their products as well as thoughtful consumer reviews on EdenFantasies.com. Search their site by using the keyword Lilo, L-E-L-O. Finally, our friends at Eden Fantasies want to remind you of their 3F shipping commitment: fast, free, and fabulous. That's right, fast, free, standard shipping on any order over $59. But why the fabulous, you might ask? Well, that has to do with the Eden Fantasies shipping department, which is comprised of the hunkiest men in the internet shipping business. So if you want your goods handled by big, handsome, masculine, muscular brutes, shop Eden Fantasy today.
Oh, shit. Nurse Tan, call maintenance. I have sperm all over my desk again.
Oh, not that again. Okay, on with the show. Today's first correspondent identifies himself as Bottom Wannabe. He's 29, and he writes from Ocala, Florida. Dr. Dick, first of all, I love listening to your show. It's informative, fun, and funny. My question is related to how to be a better bottom. I've read all your forums on this, and my question is related to enemas. To be blunt and short, I bought a gay enema water syringe bulb. I squirt water up my ass a few times and get it out. Sometimes I'm totally clean bottom, and other times, after a good fuck, there is shit that comes out on the guy. Ick. It's devastating to me that this happens, because more often than not, it does happen. I've quit having sex, and I just stick to oral sex. I love getting a dick up my ass, but I'm too embarrassed. What am I going to do? What can I do differently? I put probably a quart of water at a time in my ass before squirting it out. The problem exists if I have sex right away or if I wait a couple of hours. Well then, If you are douching properly before the butt fucking, there shouldn't be much seepage, if any. Maybe you're not taking care of business correctly, or maybe you need to douche twice. Or maybe you're being fucked too hard. I know that a vigorous fucking will introduce more air into a bottom's rectum, expanding it and making for that, oh my God, I gotta take a dump feeling. It appears that your bowels are working perfectly well. You do not want to mess with that any more than what you are already doing. I figure the easier thing to fix in this equation is your mindset about poop. You know the saying, shit happens? Well then, now you know the true meaning of that phrase. Just about everyone who is on the receiving end of a vigorous fuck is going to have a little seepage. If you can't stand that, or if it offends your delicate sensitivities, your bottom wannabe days are numbered. My suggestion is to do the very best that you can in the prep work and enjoy the fuckfest that follows. Have a trick towel handy bedside to mop up any shit that happens. Remember what I always say. There's going to be some unpleasant side effects to rooting around in someone's hole, regardless of how fastidious the bottom is about his hygiene. Next, we hear from Alvaro, who's 21, and he writes from Mexico. Hi, I'm concerned because I never shoot when I come. I dribble. I don't like the way I come. Can you advise me how to come shooting? Is there anything I can do? Is it my fault? Or was I born with a less powered gun than others? Sorry to bother, and thanks for your help. The problem you describe is a common one, Alvaro, and the solution is relatively simple. It lies in, of all things, muscle mechanics. An ejaculation is primarily a muscle contraction, built-up energy being released, thus the squirt. No squirt or dribble most likely indicates poor muscle tone. But there's an easy and fun solution, or more properly, an exercise, Kegel exercises to be precise. Let's start at the beginning, which is always a good place to begin, don't you know? Your prostate is the source of your ejaculate. You have a handle on that concept, right? Good. Now, picture a turkey baster. Imagine your prostate as the bulb on the one end and your dick as the stalk with a hole in it at the other. Picture the baster pointed upwards, like your cock with an erection. Imagine the bulb is full of fluid and you need to get that fluid out of the bulb, up the stalk, and out the hole, just like your spooge when you come. How are you going to do that? A firm grasp on the bulb and a hefty squeeze. That's how. So, Elvira, if you're dribbling instead of shooting, your muscles need to be strengthened and toned. And like I said, I have the right exercises for you. Anyone who has been paying the least bit attention to the ranting and ravings of Dr. Dick will immediately be familiar with the term Kegel exercises. I talk about them a lot, and those who haven't been paying attention, listen up, you monkeys! Kegel exercises serve to tone and strengthen the pubococcygeus muscles, or as we in the business call them, the PC muscles, which are part of the muscle group at the floor of your pelvis. The health of this muscle group plays a vital role in getting it up and getting it off, as well as other aspects of genital functioning. Kegel exercises help increase blood flow to the genital area, thus getting it up, and Kegel exercises strengthen and tone the muscles that are involved in ejaculation, thus getting it off. If you exercise this muscle regularly, you gain greater control over the timing and strength of your ejaculations. Kegel exercises can also prevent incontinence and other problems associated with aging, but we'll save that for another time. So you're probably saying to yourself, sure, Dr. Dick, I'd like to strengthen my PC muscle, but I never heard of that muscle, let alone know where to find it. All right then. Here's what you do. Work up a full bladder. The more full your bladder, the better. go to the john and sit on the toilet. Yeah, just like a girl. Now, let the pee flow. As you're doing that, I want you to interrupt the stream of piss several times before you empty your bladder. The muscle you are using to do this is your PC muscle. Look to distinguish between your PC muscle and your anal sphincter muscle. With a little practice, you'll become adept at separating out these two muscle groups. Actually, strengthening all your pelvic muscles is a swell idea, especially for power bottoms, but again, we'll save that topic for another time too. Now that you've located your PC muscle, you can also exercise it at will, even when your bladder is completely empty. First, try squeezing your PC muscle as hard as you can for a count of 3 seconds. Then relax. Repeat this until you feel your muscle tiring. How fun is this? I want you to work on both your muscle strength and your tone. For example, start with 5 strong prolonged squeezes, 5 seconds apiece. Then relax. Then do a series of 10 rapid contractions in a row. Doing 3 sets of these twice a day for a week is your goal. When you are ready to proceed, try increasing this to 3 sets of 8 to 10 prolonged squeezes and 20 rapid contractions in a set. The advanced Kegler will be able to vary the type and timing of his PC squeezing, slow clenches to quick flutters. If you keep this up, you'll be able to shoot jizz across the room in no time. And the beauty part of Kegel exercises is you can do them wherever and whenever you like. You can be sitting in a meeting with your boss and be doing your Kegel exercises. You can argue with your boyfriend and be doing your Kegel exercises. You can be watching reruns of Leave It to Beaver with your maiden aunt and be doing your Kegel exercises. Who would have guessed that improving your sexual health could be such a pleasure?
Hey, what's up, kiddo? Daddy says you're wearing a sad face. Ain't good to have a sad face.
That's so true. Next, we hear from Marcus, who's 20, and he writes from New Jersey. I have a problem that is really fucking with my head, causing all sorts of performance anxiety, and the long story short, I'm still a virgin at age 20. I can get raging boners when I'm whacking off alone, but I feel humiliated by my dick whenever I get a chance to show it off. I have what is known as a skin bridge. I've asked a doctor about plastic surgery to correct it, and he told me it originated when my circumcision didn't heal correctly, and the statute of limitations to sue the bastard expired long before I knew he was at fault. Anyway, now I'm looking at a choice between this freakish tunnel of skin that goes halfway around my cock and a different, who knows, what kind of hideous scar might result with a surgery. This is a situation that is ruining my life. Maybe it's the root of some psychological complex driving me toward homosexuality, too. But don't worry about that. If I still can get it up for a girl, I will find some peace of mind on the issue. Then I'll drop the bi attitude and come out as gay, no problem. What's your 2 cents on the surgery? I realize this might be one of your toughest questions to date. This isn't particularly a tough question at all, and you want my 2 cents? Here it is. Get over it. I mean, pup, really, skin bridges from botched circumcisions are not particularly uncommon. In fact, I know 2 guys right here in Seattle who have the same thing, and do stay away from the surgeon. More cutting on your prick ain't the answer. Here's the thing. If, when you drop trow and your audience gets a gander at your willy, and they point and shriek, "Oh my God, that thing is hideous, please, please, put it away," then I think you've got a legitimate problem. However, if no one does that, then your shame and humiliation is all in your head. You've probably created a mountain out of a molehill. But If by chance you think I'm being unfair or cavalier about your concern, then I invite you to take a photo of your hideously deformed wiener and send it to me for my evaluation. Now, there are two ways to go in this instance. The first option is to grow up and realize that your condition, if you can call it that, falls within the natural variance of dick size and shape. The second option is to capitalize on the very thing that makes you different. You know how some guys have their dicks pierced and then they put a rod or a ring through it just to doll things up a bit? Well, you already have a natural piercing, so to speak. Why not take your Johnson down to your local piercing parlor and get it fitted for a nice piece of genital jewelry? Then you can say with pride that you've adorned what you once thought was a defect and made your cock even more beautiful than it was before. Finally, I just have to ask, what's up with the "if I don't get this fix, I'm going to go all queer" all about? You think gay guys are less self-conscious about their equipment? You have been living in a dream world, darling. Hey, Dr. Dick, what's that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. Next, we conclude the questions that were offered to me by my friends who are writing that book. We talked about these questions the last 2 weeks in a row. These questions have to do with cock and balls. Question 1. Does blue balls really exist? With all the tantric activity that's going on, we assume that it's more of a myth than anything else, but we would love to hear otherwise if we are wrong. Yep, blue balls do exist, and it's slang for an actual condition: congested prostate or vasocongestion caused by prolonged sexual arousal. A dude's balls and prostate will ache if an ejaculation or orgasm doesn't dissipate the trapped blood that fills the vessel in his cock and surrounding genital area during sexual arousal. During sexual arousal, a guy's balls can actually increase 25% to 50%. This is particularly true in younger men, wouldn't you just know it? Question 2. Are there any secret spots on the male body that we should know about that aren't on the penis or in the butt? Well, you know those two little things on a guy's chest? I think they're called nipples. Some men's nipples are hotwired to their dick. I know several men who are orgasmic through nipple play alone. Any man can learn to sensitize and find pleasure in his nipples or other parts of his body as well. Question 3. Are there any magical, mystical techniques that gay men have mastered that straight women should learn about? There sure are, but us gay men are sworn to secrecy about this, and I am not about to break the code of silence. However, every straight woman should have a good gay male friend that she can talk to about things like this. Most gay men who are not as discreet as I am, and they will gladly tell you what they do to please their men if you ask them. So if you don't already have one, get a gay friend today, and then have the talk. You'll be amazed. Question 4. What exactly is the frenulum? Is there any biological purpose to it? Why is it so sensitive? And what should a gal do with it? Actually, a frenulum is a small fold of skin tissue that prevents an organ in the body from moving too far from a particular location. There are frenula at several points in the body, including several in the mouth, some in the digestive tract, and a couple in the vagina. And, my favorite, the one on a guy's cock. This is an elastic band of tissue under the dick head that connects to the foreskin and helps cover the dick head when not aroused. Sadly, the frenulum can be partially or even, yikes, totally removed during circumcision. Think of the frenulum as a guy's feeble excuse for a clit. It is loaded with nerve endings. And if a chick wants to know what to do with a frenulum, all she has to do is ask herself what she would like to have done to her clit. Question 5. Any tricks of the trade that a gal should do with the testicles? Anything that will really drive him wild? Well, loads of guys like having their balls stretched. Guys have been stretching their balls for just about as long as us men folks have had balls to stretch, and that's a mighty long time. The only thing that screams male virility and potency as much as a big dick is a pair of low-hanging balls. In fact, in many societies throughout history, a man's cojones were considered sacred. They were revered as objects of religious, social, cultural, and even magical powers. In fact, in ancient Rome, when a man would take an oath, he would grab his balls, just like we put our hand on the Bible today. In fact, that's where we got the word testify, from the Latin testes. Men discovered early that ball stretching was both erotic fun and relatively easy to do. Just to clarify, when I say ball stretching, what I really mean is sack or scrotum stretching. One cannot really increase the size of his balls or testes. So men in many societies were stretching their junk just to call attention to their maleness. With the help of a stretching device of one sort or another, and there are several, men were able to lengthen their balls with very little effort. A chick can help a guy do this. The simplest method, and you don't even need no stinking equipment for this, is called the manual method. All you do is give the man's huevos a nice sustained tug. Alternate your tugging with some nice ball massage, and over time this will help lengthen his ball sack because you'll be manually forcing it downward. The more you pull and the longer you pull, the more you will affect the hang of your guy's balls. It's also pretty sexually stimulating, too. This method is particularly effective after a hot bath or shower. His skin will be at its most pliable then. This method is safe and effective, and even rank amateurs can pull it off, so to speak. This will be fun and pleasurable all in one. Your guy will love that you are paying his balls some attention while you're jerking or sucking him off, and that will make him and his nuts way much happier. Our sixth question is, what are your thoughts on circumcision? We've read that it actually can cut off important nerve endings. Is there any truth behind this? I am completely opposed to infant circumcision. It is genital mutilation. And yes, it can and often does remove important nerve endings. See the answer to question 4 that I read above. With regarding adult circumcision, I need to say one thing from the outset. It's a particularly thorny issue for me because I firmly believe in the right of any adult to augment, adorn, or embellish, or in any other ways customize his or her body, just as long as that person has taken enough time to think it through. At the same time, I am a furious proponent of genital integrity, so you see my conflict. There are, of course, medical reasons for adult circumcision. But I want you to take a really close look at a foreskin. I mean a really close look. What do you see? Veins, right? If you pinch a foreskin between your thumb and your forefinger as hard as you can, what happens? Ouch! You know why that is? A foreskin is chocked full of nerve endings, darling. A foreskin contains about 240 feet of nerve fibers and tens of thousands of specialized nerve endings, which can feel the slightest pressure, the lightest touch, the smallest motion, the subtlest change in temperature, and the finest gradations in texture. In many ways, a foreskin is just like one's eyelid. It covers, cleans, and protects a guy's dickhead just like one's eyelid covers, cleans, and protects one's eye. A foreskin helps the surface of a guy's dickhead remain healthy, clean, shiny, warm, soft, moist, and sensitive. And there are a whole lot of us who think that foreskins are totally hot. A foreskin is a specialized, sensitive, and functional organ of touch. No other part of the body serves the same purpose, and besides, if you cut it off, it removes 50% of the skin of your cock. Finally, I'm of the mind that millions of years of evolution have provided men a covering for our dickhead for a purpose, and to remove it is simply unnatural. The last question. In your opinion, what are the key ingredients for a healthy, happy sex life? Great sex is dependent on mutuality. Be sure that your partner knows he or she is loved, appreciated, and respected. One of you may discover that he or she has a stronger libido than the other. That's pretty common. Deal with this immediately, and deal with it like adults. Don't wait for your relationship to go broken. Accommodations and compromise are always necessary in seeking a common good. And people come to compromise and accommodation through effective communication. If you don't know how to do that, your relationship is doomed. Passion is not a dirty word, nor is sexual expression a sin. If you have religious scruples about enjoying your body and that of your partner, you're headed for trouble. Boredom in the bedroom is a recipe for disaster. You should be well versed in pleasuring yourself. In fact, the more that you know about your body and the mysteries of your sexual response cycle, the smoother things will go in partnered sex. Nowadays, there is absolutely no need for anyone to come to partnered sex uninformed about sex in general and his or her sexuality in particular. Like I said, mutuality is key. And since we all evolve sexually, partners need to grow right along with each other. Make sure that your sex play is an adventure. Never hesitate to check in with one another to see how the pleasure thing is going. What worked last time is not necessarily going to work this time. Spontaneity is also a really good thing. Both partners need to take responsibility for seeing that their intimacy needs are being met. Sometimes that involves fucking like bunnies, other times it means vegging out in front of the boob tube with a fist full of Häagen-Dazs. Again, communication is key. Openness and honesty about one's most secret sexual desires and needs is essential. Can't trust your partner with your secrets? That's never a good thing. Take responsibility for your own sexuality, ask for what you need, but don't neglect caring for yourself. Seek your partner's pleasure before your own. This is particularly important for a man. If you become too busy to celebrate your sexuality together, you are indeed too fucking busy. Prioritize your life with your partner at its center. There is a fundamental difference between making love and fucking. Both have their place in a healthy sex life, and there ought also be room for solitary sex. Everyone is entitled to privacy and private time, especially in a relationship. Have some creativity about your sexual expression. Toys, fantasy, role-playing, they're all good. Don't be afraid to experiment. Attend to making your sex play spaces fit the mood, romantic to down and dirty. One size does not fit all, if you catch my drift. Stay in shape, get plenty of exercise, and keep yourself attractive to your partner. Pay attention to your personal hygiene. No one wants to bump someone with a smelly body or bad breath. Make sure that your partner is fully aroused before full-on fucking. And remember, sex is way more than the old in and out. Finally, have a sense of humor about the whole damn thing. It will help take the edge off. Okay, that's it for question and answer time. And I'd like to wind up this show by paying tribute to the 38 guests who have appeared on my shows this past year. They have added immeasurably to our understanding of human sexuality. So in order of their appearance, they are Minna Bast, Jolene Huey, Dart, James Lear, Scott Malinger, Emerald, Kenny Lee, Benoit Prevost, Shanna Germain, MaxOfBondageLessons.com, Dale Lazaroff, Charlie Glickman, Jesse Fox, Lady Lydia McLean, Bo, Modern Hooker, John and Deanna of the Sharma Center, Mike of MikeMen.com, Monk of TwistedMonk.com, Renee Capone, Deborah Christina Darling, Ashley Lister, Christoph Nemeth, Craig Sorensen, Chris Yosef, Sean Z, Lady Hodgkiss, Sylvia O'Stayformore, Leanne Bell, Claire Adams, Howard Cruz, Sophie Hirschfeld, Jeffrey Knight, Steve McIsaac, Cunning Minx, Kevin Keck, Tony Buff, and Andrea Zanin. Thank you all. I prepared a slideshow of all my guests to accompany this podcast posting, so be sure to look for it.
I'm going to shove my load into you whether you like it or not. Come on!
Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. This being our last podcast of the year, we want to wish you and all of your friends and family the very best of the holiday season. We hope that you will tune in again the first Monday of the new year for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Eden Fantasies. Listen up, you guys. Eden Fantasies provides you a unique opportunity to both shop and educate yourself about the amazing array of adult products out there. Of course, they uphold a high standard of quality in the toys they carry, but they are even more focused on customer service and consumer education, which makes Eden Fantasies, to my mind, the very best place to shop on the net. Remember, there are just a few more days left to place your holiday orders to be assured of ground delivery by Christmas. But for precise information, use their delivery date calculator on the upper right-hand side of their site. I also want to turn your attention to Eden Fantasy's brilliant new e-magazine, Sex Is. You'll find tantalizing articles and informed opinions on sex, society, health, erotica, and humor. Hey, you'll even find ways to green your sex life. And just in case you don't get a big enough dose of Dr. Dick here on DrDickSexAdvice.com, you'll find that I have a weekly column at Sex Is, too. It's called Dr. Dick on Demand. Look for the Sex Is banner on the sidebar of my site. And look for all of my podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section, obviously, and once there, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe, and please leave a comment when you do. Until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Over and out.